Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. I pray that on the Sunday following Christmas, that is your song. I pray that together we can come into the house of the Lord and we can say without apology, without hesitation, without reservation, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles with you today, and I pray that you do, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament. We're going to spend some time in Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to take you through something that I did not intend to do. You see, we have our children with us today. And I told those that pray before service each Sunday that I worked and I worked and I worked at trying to convince God to let me share a message on the wise builder who built his house upon a rock. And God had different plans for you today. And so I'm here to tell you, I pray that you're sitting down and that you are prepared to hear from the Lord, because I know that he gave me something for you right here, right now. We're going to go through a passage of scripture that's known as the place where Jesus heals 10 lepers. Now, those of you that are here as guests, normally we preach through series. And we've just finished Ezra, and beginning next week, we're going to go into a series entitled Experiencing God. It's going to be a church-wide series, and I encourage each and every one of you that are here to come back and to walk through what it's going to be to experience God with us. But this morning, I want to take you into Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, and I pray that you will see a few things. This, number one, what it is to say thank you to the Lord. Two, the distinction and the importance of words. Your words matter. You will see this in a way that I pray will blow you away. Third, there's a lot more to being a Christian than just knowing truth, believing truth, and living by faith. So let's go into God's word this morning. Let's take a look. I'm going to bring you to some Greek. I'm going to bring you to some places that I pray will cause each and every one of us to reflect upon what's happened over the last week. We all celebrated Christmas. My question to you as we go into Luke chapter 17 is, what did you get? Let me take you into God's word and start here in verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. I want us first and foremost to connect right here. You say, well, what's the connection? I want you to know that each and every one of us spiritually have leprosy without Christ. Leprosy in that day was comparable to AIDS in our day. The only difference was it was horribly visible as well. And what's important here is that by law, if you had leprosy in Jesus' day, you could not mix and mingle with anybody else because it was highly contagious. In fact, you had to stand a long distance away, and if somebody were coming, you had to forewarn them by saying, stay away, I have leprosy. We're told that Jesus, coming into Samaria, this is an area, he's walking between Samaria and Galilee. This is an area of outcasts. So imagine the worst of the worst of people having the worst of diseases that were extremely contagious. Jesus is walking and 10 of them say, hey, Jesus, it's us, the lepers out here outside the town. We're not allowed to go in the town, but we see that you're coming. Hey, Jesus, it's us. 10 lepers. Let's see what our Lord and Savior does. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. They said, Jesus, Master, have pity or mercy on us. I want to point out that they didn't call him just Jesus. And yet at the same time, they didn't call him Lord. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, master denotes some respect. They recognize that he's a rabbi or a teacher. His following is letting everybody know that this guy is special. I want you to know, you can know Jesus is special. But if you don't know him as Lord, he's not your Savior. these 10 said, "Hey, Jesus, Master," showing him respect, recognizing that he has the ability to do some things. "Have mercy on us." Now, these are 10 lepers. They didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, healer of the lepers, heal our leprosy." Seems like something that you would say, doesn't it? If you have leprosy, you would say, asking somebody to come and have mercy, to heal me of my leprosy. I want to show you the insights of these lepers. They knew better than to ask for a little from a source that could give a lot. Could you imagine going up to Bill Gates and saying, "Hey, Bill Gates, if your heart is really wide open, how about giving me 10 bucks? If you're going to ask Bill Gates for some money, would you ask him for 10 bucks? I want you to see that it's better to receive God's mercy in however he wants to distribute it than to bring and dump our wish list at his feet. Sometimes we make the mistake of asking for so little when the Lord wants to give us so much. We ask for happiness when he wants to give us joy. We ask for a calm in the storm when he wants to give us peace. We ask for materialism when he wants to give us treasures that will never rust or rot. They didn't ask him to heal their leprosy. They asked for mercy, recognizing that getting God's mercy without bounds is far better than the pinpointed specifics of what we think we want or need. Let's go on. God's word says this: "When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' So they say to him, 'Hey, Jesus, Master, show mercy on us, have pity on us,' which is them asking, 'At least heal our leprosy and maybe more.'" And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, "Okay, fellas, here, your leprosy's gone." He doesn't say, "Well, let me think about it." He tells them to go and to show themselves to the priest. Now, in that day, what makes this important is it was the priest who would designate those that were dirty and those that were clean, those that had the disease and those that didn't, those that could get in and mingle with the crowd in society and those that were forced to be outcast. So here are these 10 lepers filled with sores and all the visual stains of leprosy. And Jesus tells them to go. Now, do you see that he did not heal them first and then tell them to go? He told them to go. My friends, we will often be called by God to do before you see how. You will be called to embrace the essence of what he is instructing you to do before you have any visual sign of how it will work out. This is the essence of faith. It's not the fullness of faith, as you will see, but is the essence of faith. He says this: "Go, show yourselves to the priests." If we want God's blessing, I want you to know that almost always it will come with an action orientation. So often we want to sit on the couch and say, "Where is my blessing? Shower it down on me. Gimme, gimme, gimme." God said, we have a part to play. That part is almost always faithful obedience. He says, go. Go before you think you're ready to go. Go where? Go to the priest who will say whether or not you are clean. It doesn't make any sense to go there. I can see that I'm not clean. He says, go. How many of us know, and you can raise your hands, what it is to have God direct you in a way before you see how, only to find out midstream or almost at the last second where he shows up? It's said that God is seldom early but never late. If he calls you to go, he will provide the way. If it looks like there is a cavern between you, he will provide the bridge. If it looks like there is a river or a sea between you, he will part it. When the Israelites are going back into the promised land and Joshua is leading them, and they come up to the Jordan River, having already seen God part the Red Sea, Joshua says, go. And do you know, as you read your Bible closely, you will see that the water of the Jordan did not move until the toes of the folks in the front hit the water. Jesus tells them to go and show themselves while they are still covered with sores, because he knew what he could and would do. The question was, did they know, did they believe that he could and would? Same question comes to us almost all the time. Each and every one of us has a part to play in God's great puzzle of life. You have a journey to walk. Sometimes it seems impossible, sometimes it seems easy. The point is that you get your instructions from him and you do, and you go, and you be, whether or not you think you can. Moses said, "You want me to speak on your behalf? I stutter." Go. Gideon said, "I can't imagine you would mean me. Here, let me throw all these stumbling blocks. The odds are too great." God says, "Let me show you what the odds need to be when I'm in charge." He tells them to go and show themselves. Key part of this entire passage right here. "And as they went, they were cleansed." As they went. My friends, it's in the midst of our faithful obedience that God's blessing will often show up. If you wait until you see how to obey, you most likely will never see how. If you say, "Well, Lord, so long as you show up with your part, then I'll do my part." Wrong. Thank you for playing. Come again. He said, you get your instructions and you say, "Yes, Lord." In fact, as soon as you get done saying, "Yes, Lord," you say, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me be one who gets instructions. Thank you for giving me the privilege of serving." As they went, how many of us sit on the sidelines waiting for God's blessing? How many of us say, "Well, if I just get A, B, and C, then I'll start to faithfully obey with D, E, and F." I can tell you this. This one gets touchy. This was my reality when it came to tithing. It took us 18 months to tithe. Okay? And I negotiated and I played games with God all the way through. "Well, okay, I'll do a little of this. You do a little of that. I'll do a little of this. You do a little of that." The whole time God just sat back and laughed at me. And it wasn't until I realized that this is a game that I can't win and it's a game I ought not play. And I came to the Lord and I gave him my heart. And with it came sacrificial giving out of worship, not out of obligation. It was as they went that they were cleansed. Now, here's where I want to bring you into some Greek. This is very, very key. I told some of you this morning that I learned an awful lot this week as I prepared our message. I want to show you some things that are going to show the importance of detail, the power of our words, and how absolutely critical it is. Young people, our children, if you listen to your moms and dads only partway, that's wrong. If you only obey a certain amount, that's a total amount of disobedience. Listen to the nuance and the difference here. Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Then Luke, the author of Luke, tells us this. "And as they went, they were cleansed." Now, the word that he uses for cleansed in the Greek, it's katharizo. Katharizo. Say, "Pastor Jeff, come on. You tell us it's plain speak here. Why are you bringing us into the Greek?" I don't do it often, but when I do, it's because it's important, and I pray that you catch this. Katharizo. It's the Greek word for a surface cleansing, as if to clean the dirt off of a utensil. Katharizo. Now, there was another word for cleansing that meant an entire inner purity. That is katharos. Katharos. The word here is not katharos, but katharizo. He says, as the ten went, they were katharizo. They were cleansed on the surface. They had a surface cleansing. Why? Because they obeyed. Because they believed that God was at work here. Say, "Okay, dead end, Pastor. Where are you going with this?" The ten believed in their head that Jesus was master. He was special. he had a certain ability to do some things. They believed that he could heal them. They believed it. We know it because they obeyed. They took action. And all 10 were cleansed on the surface. Seems like a moot point. I'll come back. You see, we're told in Matthew 23:26, another part of scripture that many of you will be familiar with, as Jesus is scolding the Pharisees and he says to them, you're like a cup that is clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. How many of you remember that passage where Jesus is telling these hypocrites, those that look religious but don't have relationship with him? He said, you clean the outside of the cup, katharizo, when the inner part needs to be clean, katharismos, katharmos. Jesus was saying, you need to scrub to clean the inside the way that you do the outside. And it's only when you're clean and pure that you are a child of mine. Katharizo, you're clean on the surface. All 10. You obeyed, you went, you did it. It'd be like us hearing the message on a church service Sunday like today. Walking out and saying, fine, I'll do it. You know what? Preacher says, if I do this, I get a blessing. Good, I'll do it. You have knowledge and you have action. But if the heart is missing, you're only katharizo. You may be clean on the surface, but you're not pure on the inside. We're told here that the 10 who knew Jesus as master, knew he was special, believed he could do something, they left, and along the way, because they obeyed, they were cleansed on the surface. Let's continue. One of them, one of the 10, this is the divine minority, my friends. If you look around the world and you see those that seem to be totally oblivious, could care less about any relationship with God or eternal life, we know them. Okay, those, let's call them the atheists or the agnostics, those that say, yeah, I don't believe any of that. I want to put them aside for a minute. I want to talk about the religious. Let's talk about the religious community. The ones that would show up and go to church. The one that would believe that God is special and that Jesus is something. And they want a blessing. They would, give me. I'm going to show up. Give me something. I'll meet you at the door. I'll meet you outside the village. I believe there's something in this Jesus thing. I see all the happy people coming out of the church. I want some of that. Give me some of that. Those are the folks that get religious. They come, they say the words, they do some of the stuff, and they go away, and they may get cleansed on the surface. Katharizo. But there's only one that gets katharos. We're told one. When he saw he was healed, we've got a different word here, folks. And unless you go into the original language, you might miss this. We don't have the one who was katharizo. We have the one who was iaomai, iaomai. The one that our English Bible says was healed is the one that was made whole. Iaomai in Greek means to be made whole. It's the word that is most like katharos, pure. You see, 10 were cleansed on the surface. 10 got a blessing, if you will. Only one came back. It's the one that was healed and made whole. There's something different. And the difference is not just that they came back. The difference is that this one is made whole. Got cleansed on the surface, but he got some extra. He got a little more. Got a lot more. Let me ask you again, what did you get this year for Christmas? Did you get katharizmo? Did you get cleansed on the surface? Did you get some surface blessings? Did you get some goodies, some treats, some smiles? Or did you get, yeah, oh my, were you made whole as you celebrated Christmas? I pray that you are made whole. Why did this guy get some extra? What's the difference? 10 waited outside. 10 had the same condition. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. All of us standing outside the village. All of us recognizing the need for Jesus. Some of us call on him so that we can get the surface blend, surface blessing, the cleansing that frees us up to go do what we want to do. 9 of them said, Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Get rid of this leprosy so I can go and do whatever I want to do. Man, life will be good when you cut me loose. One of them came back when he realized that he wasn't just cleansed, he was made whole. Question is why? Where's the distinctive? Where's the rubber hit the road for us, Pastor Jeff? What is in this more than commentary? Let me show you how the passage continues. One came back when he saw that he was healed. He came back praising God. Depending on your translation, it says to worship God. Whoa. Kind of this chicken and the egg deal now. Are you telling me that you can know the truth, do the truth, have evidence of God's hand, and not be fully blessed? That's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that you can know what it is to have a surface blessing, to be katharizno, to be cleansed on the surface, which brings with it a blessing that allows you some freedom, and yet not be made whole. What's missing? What's the difference? This is the key. The one who came back and realized that he was whole came back praising and worshiping God. My friends, you can know and you can do and you could be lost for eternity. But if you will worship and love at the heart level, you see, one came back to praise. That's a heart condition. If you know plus obey, that equals activity, and I would call it religion. If you love, know the right core of that love, and then live out a Christ likeness that overflows with that love, that's faithful obedience. That is salvation. You can look the part. 10 were cleansed. We tend to tell that story and say, oh yeah, Jesus healed all 10 of them. No, he didn't. He cleansed all 10. He healed just one. The difference in this nuance of these words is immense. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between happiness and joy. Listen to what happens as we continue. One of them, when he saw he was healed, made whole, ia omai, came back praising God. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. True humility. True worship. 9 took off. Woo-wee, we're clean. Let's go hit the town. It's all about me. Thank you, Jesus. Woo-wee. Love that God stuff. Man, is this good. One says, whoa. I've been made whole. How could I possibly go and absorb myself in me when I have just been given true, complete wholeness? How can we celebrate Christmas and not be in awe of the Christ of Christmas? How can we get caught up in the stuff that we get instead of the spirit and the soul that has been saved? If you're to be made whole, it'll be because you have a heart for the Lord. and not a surface thank you. Yeah, thanks, this is great, see ya. But one who has been given the freedom to do whatever you want and say, what I want is to worship and to praise my God, my Lord, my Savior. My number one want to is to say thank you. I stand in awe of who I was and who I am. And I can do nothing moving forward until I go back and thank my Lord and my Savior. If we're not in awe of Christ at Christmas, we've missed the point. Do you know that the Sunday in between Christmas and New Year's is typically the third lowest Sunday of attendance in any typical church? Labor Day, Memorial Day, and then the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. Strange, isn't it? On the heels of Christmas, to have one of the lowest attendances. Seems like there might be a little disconnect, doesn't it? Little catharizo, or a little catharos, is called for. Let's continue on. God's word says this: the one threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. This is key because the Samaritans were the outcasts. These were the ones that were thought to be half-breeds. The ones that the Jews felt were scum. Their dogs were higher on their socioeconomic charts than the Samaritans. Nine Jews, nine religious folks, knowing the right stuff, doing the right stuff, zero heart, take off. One who society says is nothing. Given the same privilege, the same blessing, it appears on the surface, realizes in their heart what really happened here. And having the same freedoms availed to them, to him, that the others had, said, my want to is not to go do up the town. My want to is to go to the foot of the cross and to say thank you to my Lord and my Savior. This piece tells us two things. Number one, oftentimes if you feel like nobody thinks that you can do anything, or you've been so down and out, or you've been so ugly in life, or you've been to places where nobody thinks that you ought to go, I want you to know that in God's economy, those from whom the least is expected often show up as the superstars. I often tell people when going to seminary, and even at times in serving as a pastor, I feel like a pair of brown shoes in a world full of tuxedos. I have a couple of friends that really blessed me when they said, oh yeah, well then we're a couple of flip-flops. God loves and works with flip-flops. Amen? Amen. The other thing I want you to see here in Luke, the author, is making a very clear point that's consistent with what he's done throughout his other writing. And that is he's making us see that God's grace is for everyone. When he says it's for the Samaritan, that's to tell you and me and people like us that think, boy, I'll tell you what, I've been in some real ugly parts of the world. I've done some really bad things. I don't know that God could ever use me. Jesus wants to make it very clear. His grace is for all of us. I've told you this before. There is no such thing as the word them in Jesus' vocabulary. It's all either us or potential us's. Every person you meet is either a brother or sister in Christ or a potential brother or sister in Christ. Let's go on. He threw himself at his feet. He thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now Jesus gets back involved, and I want you to see this because this is where it gets a little tough. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? He goes back to the clean, surface clean word. Jesus could have used any word he wanted. He said, were not all 10 catharizo? Did I not do a surface cleansing of all of them? Is there not reason for everyone to be thankful? Jesus went on the cross for every single person walking the planet. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him, we all have reason to give thanks and praise. Now, we may have a ticket prepaid for eternal life that we choose not to accept, but that does not negate the fact that he's already paid the price, which means we have reason to be thankful. Jesus says here, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? My friends, that should be a haunting question in our society today. Why is it that on the heels of Christmas, Christ's Day, that the church, capital C, has its third lowest attendance every year? Why is that? If all you see and if all you appreciate is a surface cleansing, not a big deal. If, like our Samaritan friend, you are blown away, eternally changed, realizing that you have received the gift of all gifts, you'd be at the foot of the cross. Yeah, but you don't understand, this is the best time for a vacation. Yeah, how about these lepers? Haven't been allowed in town for forever. You want a reason to go party? These lepers had it. And yet they're not being given a free pass here. In fact, they're being lifted up as the example for which we are to learn. Oh boy. Getting a little hot. Getting a little close. This is where we get a little intense. I told you before. This is God's word. I don't change it. I don't alter it. There's a reason why every syllable of Scripture is here. There's a reason why we have this passage. Jesus said, "Where are the other 9? My question to us is, how often are we the one, and how often are we in the 9? And what are we going to do about it? What did you get this year for Christmas? I got eternal life. I got a Savior that went on the cross and died for my sins. I got an opportunity to serve. I think these 9 would say I got cleansed on the surface. My sores are gone. And now I'm hitting up the town. I want to show you a video that takes this and personalizes it in a way that's real. It's a different context. But I want to show you just how base we can be as a people when we take our eye off of Christ. When we see Christmas instead of Christ. When we get overjoyed and focused in on what we get as a result instead of who we get in relationship. I'm going to show you something that you will think is impossible to be true. I'm going to introduce you to a man. And I want you to think as you hear his story and how impossible it could be. How Jesus could sit there and tell a story 1,000 times worse. And there are times in our lives when we would be the ones he would be talking about. Take a look at this.
My name is Edward. People ask me all the time, do I remember the night I became famous? I tell them I sure do. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember the date. It was September the 8th. It was 2:30 a.m. I was a student at Northwestern University in those days. I was on the swim team. I wanted to be a minister. I was asleep when they came and got us that night. It had been storming, something terrible. Through the area and out on Lake Michigan. Two boats had collided. Hundreds of people were in the water. They needed swimmers, and I was a swimmer. I remember that night. I remember people in the water yelling, screaming, dying. I remember jumping in, it was cold. I pulled 17 people from that boat, from that water, they tell me. 17 people alive. They tell me I swam harder and longer and stronger than my body could handle. They tell me that's why I have nerve damage in my legs. Since that night, I've never walked again. But when people ask me, do you remember? I tell them I sure do. I do remember. I remember the 17 people around me as I lay exhausted. I couldn't move on the beach. I remember all of them standing around. And now, all these years later, what do I remember the most? I remember out of all those people I pulled out of the water, not one of them said thank you.
Seems almost impossible, doesn't it? Imagine Jesus sitting there instead of losing his legs, saying, I went on the cross. And what I know hurts him the most is that so many of us don't say thank you. And not a surface thank you. Not a, I'm going to run to town to show the priest because I believe that you're a master. Thank you. But the thank you that is expressed through our lives, through living a life of wholeness, that says I'm more than clean on the outside. I am pure as a child of God. And I am in awe of the gift that I have received. This really hit me this week. I'll tell you just some personal peccadilloes. My dad gave us for Christmas 6 airline tickets for Christmas. They're his frequent flyer miles transferred into tickets. I had not done this before, but if you utilize those tickets, you have to fly at certain times. Do you know that our family sat around and we were almost bummed out? We're like semi-frustrated with the fact that we were going to have to fit into some kind of difficult schedules. How sad is that? Receive free tickets to fly anywhere in the continental U.S. and we find the problem with the scheduling. Griffin has been accepted, invited to attend a school that is very, very expensive. Very expensive. They were very generous to us and in essence, said we want him so much, we'll reduce the cost to almost half because we think highly of him. Still prohibitive for us. And we found ourselves getting bummed out about it. And then I met a family in the church, one that you would know, and I won't say their names because I don't want to embarrass them. But the day after Christmas, talking about what did you get? They were more excited about what they gave. And while we're sitting here thinking it's a bummer that our son can't attend a school that costs thousands upon thousands of dollars, one of you told us that you gave a water buffalo to a village in Uganda, Africa. It costs $200 and it feeds 50 children a day indefinitely for the life of the water buffalo. Also serves the village by providing labor that would work as a plow and such. And I got thinking, something wrong with this picture. When we, and I don't cast stones. I say this about us as a society. We don't tend to think about or focus on what we have received in Christ. At Christmas, we tend to look at the tree instead of the cross. Let me show you how the passage finishes. Jesus, and I think it's just got to break his heart. Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God? Except the foreigner? Is there no one out there that understands this is bigger than cleaning your skin? I have saved your soul. Last verse. Then he said to him, the one who came back to praise and to worship, the one who was made whole in addition to being cleaned on the surface, rise and go. Here's the linchpin. Your faith has made you well. It's the faith. It's not the knowing. It's not even the doing. It's the being that comes out of faith in Christ as Lord. Not master, not just somebody special. It's the lordship of Christ. You can act on knowledge, but you will only worship out of faith. And I'm going to bring you to one last piece of Greek. This last word ties it all together. He says, your faith has made you well. This word well, sozo in Greek. Sozo. Would it surprise you if I told you that this word is now once again parallel with the wholeness of iaomai and katharos? Nine were cleaned on the surface. We see the word twice. One was made whole. One was saved. The word sozo, again, means whole. It means saved. Luke is the author of this passage. There are 17 places where Luke uses this word sozo. I want to share with you just three. Just in case you think that, okay, well, here it is. He's saying, okay, go ahead. I've cleaned you like the others. He's used a different word again. Sozo. Let me show you that word in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. One of the most important passages in all the Bible. Acts 2, 41 through 47. This is where you see the picture, the snapshot of the New Testament church. If you want to know what the New Testament church should look like, Acts 2, 41 through 47 is the best single passage to look at. And this word sozo is there. Acts 2, 47 says this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being sozo, those who were being saved. This one leper, the one whose distinctive is that he came back and praised and worshiped God, whose faith, we're told, made him sozo. Acts 16:31, this is Paul and Silas. Now they're in prison in Philippi, and they're speaking to the Philippian jailer, who has seen them worshiping God in the midst of their pain and in their abuse, seeing that they could have run free, but they chose to stay and worship their God. The Philippian jailer asks Paul and Silas, what do I need to have what you have? Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be sozo, and you will be saved. You see, my NIV in our passage says, oh yes, go, your faith has made you well. He's been made a heck of a lot more than well. He's been made whole. He's been made pure. He's been saved. Lastly, Jesus himself. Luke 19:10. This to me is perhaps the most powerful of all the places where the word is used. Asked about himself, Jesus says this: the Son of Man came to seek and to sozo what was lost. Our leper was saved. One of ten was saved by faith. His faith opened up the door to receive God's grace, saving grace through faith. The distinctive, all ten were cleansed. All ten had their sores go away. You're going to see in your lifetime numbers, scores, hundreds, thousands of religious people who look like and act like they're sozo. If your heart's not in it, you're not sozo. Faith, saving faith in Jesus as Lord. Not just this rabbi teacher, Lord, uniqueness as Lord. Worthy of all of our praise and our worship. Not because of what he put under the tree, but because of what he put in our heart. The song said it. We worship you for who you are. You'd be sozo. The question is, what did you get this year? Did you get Christmas or did you get Christ? Did you get better or did you get best? Did you get a surface blessing or were you made whole in the soul? I pray that all of us, as we head into 2009, can look and say, thank you, Lord. I've been so much more than surface cleansed. I have been made pure and whole by your grace, a gift that came by faith. I am sozo because I am yours by faith. Would you pray with me? Father God, I come and I thank you so much for the truth that is revealed, that the distinctives between words can mean so much. Father, I pray that we don't get lost in the current of Christmas, but that we stay anchored to the truth and the love of Christ. Lord, give us thankful hearts. Show us what it is to live in your light and your truth. Let us forever recognize that without you, even if the surface leprosy goes away, at our core, we would be lost and stained forever. Father, I thank you for the love and the mercy that has come to rescue us. In Jesus' name, amen.